Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We want to remind you guys, all you listeners out there, that we are available on CairoRadio.com and also on the all-new Cairo Radio app for your smartphones and your tablets. You can go to the Android Marketplace or you can go to iTunes and download the Cairo Radio app completely free, and you can stream this show amongst many, many others and stream live radio, mind you, here from Seattle, straight to your little device, your little handheld device. And it's completely free, guys. Completely free. It's awesome. Go do it. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 161 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, and we've got a great show planned for you this week. Oh my god, this fantastic new band named Cumulus. Well, I guess they're not entirely new, but they don't have an album out yet. And they are so good. Leah and Alex of the band will be joining me here shortly in the Dining Room Studios version 2.0. We haven't moved into the official studios, backyard studios. We haven't moved in there yet, so we're doing it from the dining room once again, because like everything in my life, it takes time. It takes time to build things, right? Man, I've got to get that through my thick, thick skull. Because, I don't know, in my 33 years of being on this planet, I've always wanted it now, right? I'm like that, is that Veruca Salt from, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Right? Is that character? I want it now? That is who I am, to the core. And, yeah, really just didn't take into account timelines on building things and getting things put together, and it's still taking some time. So we're waiting to get into the new studio in the backyard. But until then, we'll be doing it out of the dining room. Once again, back in the dining room, right? It's comfortable there. My headspace is clear in the dining room with that setup. So it works well. It works well. And, I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Leah and Alex were, just great. They were so, so nice and just willing to talk. And we had some great conversations. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it because we talk a lot about high school, and pranks that we may or may have not, done, while we were there. And it's a great conversation. Good ladies, and extremely talented. Holy smokes, they're so talented! And we'll be playing a song off of their new record that's coming out on October 3rd, here shortly. Yes, that's right. We only have one song. We're doing it a little bit differently this week. The show is going to be a little bit different. We don't have a whole bunch of musical breaks like we normally do. We only got one. They're only giving us one song, people, because they don't wanna put anything else out there. They don't want it heard yet. And I respect that. They came on. They were willing to talk. We didn't even take a break. We just powered through, and it was great. It was a wonderful conversation. So we'll get to that here soon. We want to remind you, too, please, if you're just checking out the show for the first time, go to iTunes. Rate and review the program. We would really appreciate it, really appreciate the patronage, and it does help out. It helps us continue to get great guests like Cumulus on, or like Pete Holmes, or Aisha Tyler, Dana Gould, John Roderick, David Bazan, people like that, Mudhoney, Yeah, that's right. We've had Mudhoney on the show. Macklemore. You can go go to the website, www.air-raid.net, and click on the archives page and scroll through 161 episodes of this show with amazing guests. Amazing guests, people. So don't forget to do that as well. So I had something, you know, not great happen to me recently. I took a little spill at work and fell on my butt and hurt my leg and also hurt my arm because I caught myself with my right hand, right? Put my right hand, I slipped on this steep slope and I put my right hand behind me to catch myself and just cranked my wrist, right? Well, my whole body was just kind of hurting after that. And then, of course, we went into the move. We were moving stuff into storage units and all over the place. And then, I don't know, it just, the wrist progressively got worse and worse. And over the last couple weeks, it's gotten really, really bad. And, like, it's gotten so bad that, like, I can't drive. I can't drive with it, right? It was getting really, really just tight and painful. And then I was all of a sudden having trouble like opening doors, right? I couldn't open, I couldn't turn a doorknob and stuff without it really being hurt, it really hurting. And so, you know, Braid is like talking me into going to the doctor. I don't want to go to the freaking doctor. I don't have time to go to the doctor, right? I work in a separate city from where we live. And, you know, I don't want to have to take time off of work to go and do this. So anyway, I decide to go to this clinic, an urgent care clinic. Never been to an urgent care clinic before. And what an experience that was. Holy smokes. I went to one in the city that I work in on my lunch break. First of all, it took like, I had to take an hour off of work because it took 2 hours to even see anybody or to even get called back into the room, right? And so I go to this urgent care clinic and be immediately like, hold the phone. I need to back up a little bit. I figure that my wrist is not broken, although it hurts a lot, but I just wanted some sort of pain medication so I could friggin' sleep, right? I needed to get some sleep, and this thing was hurting so bad I couldn't sleep. Anyway, I walk into this place, and immediately it hits me that half of the people in this urgent care clinic are faking their injuries. Right, I notice it. It's so easy to notice. And it's people that are just there to try to get their hands on some sort of pain medication. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm totally not getting a prescription for pain medication here. And sure enough, I was right. The wrist is just sprained. It turned into a really bad case of tendonitis. And so now I got to wear this brace. And the doctor there told me, yeah, just take 3 ibuprofen. Had to do x-rays the whole bit, man. 2 hours. Two and a half hours is what it took to just have these people give me a brace and 3 ibuprofen. And then I made the mistake of telling them that it happened at work, right? That was bad because they're like, oh, now we need to start an L&I claim. And that's not fun. There's so much paperwork associated with that. It's terrible. It's terrible. And so I told the lady, I was like, well, how about this? I accidentally told you that it happened at work. I didn't want to do that because my insurance will cover all of this. I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to walk back in and I'm going to tell you that I hurt this arm at home. And she said, no, it's too late. I literally said that. And she goes, no, it's too late. You told me it happened at work. We can't change it now. Ugh. So, of course, that was like, you know, 3 hours of paperwork that I had to do for work. Oh, man. And all sorts of, and just happiness ensues, right? Yeah. But you'll be happy to know my wrist is feeling a bit better. I'm on the mend. I'm able to, you know, gratify myself. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I'll cut that out. But yes, it's getting better. But man, I gotta wear this brace all over the place. All day, every day, I even got to wear it when I'm sleeping. It's a big pain in the butt, people. Yeah. Moral of this story? There is none. Maybe just let yourself land on your tailbone instead of trying to catch yourself with your wrist if you slip on something hard. How's that? How's that for a moral? There you go. Let's do this, people. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's go to our first and only musical break by the band Cumulus. This song is called Do You Remember? And it is really, really good. You can also see the fantastic video that was made for this cut. Excuse me. Yeah, go to YouTube, type in Cumulus, Do You Remember? Because there are a lot of songs that have that same title. Just type in Cumulus, Do You Remember? We'll put up a link on our website, on the little blog post about this episode. We'll put a link there. Also, we'll link to all their, I don't have it pulled up right now, but Cumulus has a website, cumulusband.com. We'll put up a link for that, and also a link for their Twitter and their Facebook accounts up there as well. So remember, go to www.air-raid.net and check that out. Shall you? Shall you? Yeah. I've been drinking. Let's do this. Do You Remember by Cumulus, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with the band, Alex and Leah from Cumulus. Enjoy, people. We'll be right back. Right. Will you wait until I stop recording until you say something like that?
We'll see. Hey, please. Let me just tell you how I think you should run things.
Oh, man. Well, welcome back, everybody. Joining me here in the new dining room is Alex Nijolovsky?
Nijolkovsky.
Oh, mm-hmm. See, I have it right here. It's on your website.
Spelled out phonetically?
Cumulusband.com, and it's spelled out phonetically, yeah. And I missed it because my mic's in the way. And Leah Julius,
yes,
who plays bass for the band Cumulus as well. Thank you, ladies, for coming and joining me.
Yeah.
This is so nice. So Shenandoah, who is sitting over in the chair, over in the corner, being quiet as can be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
She has a big grin on her face.
She sent me like an invite to like you guys on Facebook. And I was like, I'd heard a lot about you. There's a lot of buzz going around going on around Cumulus right now.
Cool.
And you guys have this video out and stuff. And so I checked out the video. I was like, oh, my God, this song is amazing.
Oh.
Where's their other stuff?
Yeah.
And it doesn't exist yet.
I think you'll like it.
It's coming out. It's coming out, right?
Yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah, on Trans Records, mm-hmm. which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
How excited are you about this?
Just indescribably excited.
Yeah.
Just can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah. And now you're sitting in some guy's dining room doing a podcast.
Yeah.
It's everything we always imagined.
I'm sure.
No, this is
I'm
great.
Sure it is.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, totally. So what is it? What does it feel like? I mean, you guys have been a band for, what, 2 years,
mm-hmm.
right? And you haven't had, like, a full-length album come out as of yet.
Mm-mm.
And then your first full-length is going to be put out by a pretty reputable record label.
Yeah.
That's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's a... Yeah. Go on. Sorry.
No. You, please.
Well, I mean, I've been playing... as Cumulus for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so it started out as a solo project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so definitely like played a lot of shows and put a lot of things out there as far as building a following and having friends that were interested, and then the band came together and things are going awesome.
Right on. So let's see. When did you start playing music?
Probably like 2008, 2009 was around the time. Started playing a lot of shows and seeing where it went.
Yeah. And was it something like were your parents pretty musical too? Did like you pick up music at a young age?
None of my parents are musicians themselves. My dad always kind of wanted to be and never did it. I remember like when I was a kid, he was
like a broom player.
He would just play a lot
of broom in the house.
My first instrument was actually the drums. I started playing the drums when I was 16.
Really?
And my dad bought me a drum set and he let me just like play drums in the living room, which I think is one of the most admirable things that a parent could do, because it's pretty much the loudest, most obnoxious instrument that there is. And I didn't even have a band. I didn't even play with people. I just loved playing the drums.
Yeah.
And I had a drum teacher, and I just pretty much just rocked out on the drum kit after school, like all the time. And my dad just loved seeing me create things and always supported me along the way. And I've been singing ever since I can remember. Nice. I've always loved singing. So
yeah. That's one thing. I'm going to write that down on my fake notepad over here because I want my daughter to be a drummer.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be the dad that like forces her into it, because I know that that's the wrong way to do it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I should just set up a drum set here in the living room and just let her go for it.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Totally.
Okay.
Like, you know, just let your kid do, you know, find their creativity and like let them explore it, and don't hinder it in any way, even if it's loud.
Yeah.
You know, just let them have their bad band practice in your living room. My brother also was in a really funny cover band in high school. They did like Twisted Sister covers and stuff, and they'd be practicing in our living room and I'd be upstairs like rocking out, and my brother had like, I think that his bass player had leather pants. That was like back in...
Oh, thank God.
Early 2000s. And it's just like one of those things where we always went to shows. Like, I've been going to Bumbershoot every year since I was 8 years old, and I'm 25 now. I think I've only missed one Bumbershoot.
Really?
And I still remember like my dad putting me on his shoulders during the Third Eye Blind set at the football stadium where they used to have the main stage shows.
Yeah.
And we'd go out into the crowd and I'd be singing Semi-Charmed Life at the top of my lungs. And Bumbershoot was really cool because they had the jazz and the blues. So I'd go and see like Bonnie Raitt or like Bo Diddley with my dad. And then he'd go watch Third Eye Blind with me.
And they do. Yeah. I mean, Bumbershoot is, and it's coming up. It's mm-hmm. next weekend. Very eclectic
stuff for the whole family.
Stuff for the whole family, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
We've always been a live music family for sure.
Yeah. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What about you, Leah? Where did music start in your life? You're the bass player.
I am, but I also started on the drums. My parents did not play music, but my older brothers did. And so I always wanted to be like them, obviously. And one of them played drums. And I was like, hey, Dad, I want to play drums. And he was like, okay. So he took me to my brother's drum teacher. I was like 7-year-old little girl, and the drum teacher was like, yeah, I don't teach girls.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously. And my dad was like, you do now. And talked him into it. And so I started just, you know, like on a drum pad learning rudiments when I was 7. Uh-huh. And then I like, you know, did whatever. I was a distracted 7-year-old. And then in high school, I started playing drums in a punk band.
Oh, cool.
So I did that for 4 years. And then I met Alex through a mutual friend. I play drums in a band currently out of Seattle, and the guitar player.
What band is that?
Sundries.
Sundries. Okay, I've heard of you guys.
Yeah. My guitar player went to college with Alex, and he introduced us. And he was like, you guys are going to be really good friends. Like, you're very similar. And so we obviously, like, immediately hit it off because we are very similar. And and then I went and saw her band play, and they were already a full band. And I was like, oh, man, I really want to be in this band. They already have all their members. But then Alex was like, well, our drummer and our bass player are both leaving. And I was like, oh, I'll play drums. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, well, I can play bass. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then the next day I went and bought a bass. I didn't play bass. And I learned. And then by the time we played music, I was somewhat decent at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she enough learned to pull all it off. Songs.
And she was like, oh, yeah, this is going to work. So that's how I became a bass player.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's working out.
It is. And now I really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can what we swear best... in this?
Yes, you can.
Leah's pretty much like the most badass person I've ever met.
That's the word you chose to say? That's the...
Leah... You're never going to say, like, I'm fucking badass or something. Come on, Alex.
Yeah, I worked at a radio station. I'm used to, like, FCC or something. Yeah, just Leah was really inspiring, and she just, when she wants to do something, she'll do it.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. So let me ask you guys a question, because I'm coming at this from, like, a guy's perspective. But, like, women drummers are pretty much the coolest.
I agree.
Is that
with that.
The same? Is it, I mean, do you guys feel the same way? Do you ladies feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, do you want to go off on, or do you want to talk about that? Or
yeah, I mean, I totally agree. When I was growing up, I didn't really have any lady drummers that I looked up to. Like, none at all, actually, that I can remember. And so I was,
not even like Janet Weiss? Or?
I didn't even know who that was when I was a kid. I do now, and yeah, she's rad, obviously. But I basically was just like, well, I'm gonna play like a dude because that's how people play drums. And so still to this day I play very aggressively. So
heavy
much
hitter.
Very heavy hitter, so much so that like people come up to me after shows with my own band and they're like, man, you just look like you've like some fucking shit to beat out of someone. And I'm like, no, I just like playing drums, actually.
Yeah,
so it's a weird like situation to be in because like sometimes I wear like sundresses and then I'm just like hitting the shit out of the drums.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I used to play drums in a punk band in Mellingham for a while. And after I moved back out to Seattle, they got a different drummer. And I noticed just the way that the songs kind of shifted in the feeling of them. I do kind of feel like I provided a different...
Like what? Like more aggressive?
Yeah,
or
it was just kind of... Yeah, it just kind of became a much more dude band. Like after... I feel like there is like kind of like this touch that... it was a girl bass player, my friend Corey and me at the time on drums. So the rhythm section was female and then with a guy lead singer guitar player. And I do kind of feel like it just lended a different kind of mood, vibe to the band. And then when it became an all-male band, it just kind of... I personally kind of feel like we sounded better when we were in it. But I still love their songs, so I better not, you know. But, it was interesting. Like, I also feel like it was when I was in college. My freshman year of college, I took a women's studies class for the first time. And that's when I actually got into Riot Girl, was like actually like way after Riot Girl ever happened.
Yeah.
One of my funniest stories that kind of gets talked about by people who think my dad tried to show me Sleater-Kinney when I was like 13.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it was too loud for me. Like I was really into like Joan Osborne and like Sheryl Crow and like the singer-songwriter stuff.
And Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, and I loved Third Eye Blind, but like I had this idea that you had to be like make pretty music if you were a female.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I heard Sleater-Kinney, it was like almost like too aggressive for my ears to like handle. I just didn't know how to like understand it. And then it wasn't until, and that was like, you know, when I was like, and anything your dad shows you, you're just like, okay, dad, I know you think I should like this, but like, whatever. And so it was kind of, it's funny that my dad was trying to show me something that was actually really radical and really important in that time, but I didn't want to hear it because my dad was showing it to me.
Right.
And so it
right.
wasn't until I like kind of found that stuff on my own after like seeking out, I started getting more interested in, I booked shows and did a lot of background work in up until I went into college, worked at a radio station, booked a lot of shows, never thought I'd actually play music.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I kind of started
this
getting
was the college radio
yeah,
station. That
yeah.
You
at KUGS Bellingham at Western.
Western. Okay.
Yeah. And I booked a lot of, DIY shows in my small town, which is how I met John from the Lonely Forest and Lance. But I never pictured myself playing music. It wasn't really until I started listening to a lot of women in rock music, like listening to Gossip and listening to Pretty Girls Make Graves and listening to Sleater-Kinney and things like that, where I was like, oh, like I can play loud music, which is what I like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I do like that stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It just kind of, it took seeing the representation of it to kind of shift my perspective from being in the background to actually playing it.
Right.
So that in itself is why I think things like, I love seeing a female drummer because I just think that I just want to see women everywhere because it just makes it that much more accessible for young girls that want to make music.
Well, some of my favorite bands from when I was like a teenager, like the Breeders or the Amps.
Mm-hmm.
Those are both deal bands. But some of my favorite bands had like strong female leads in them, you know? And I think it's great because I think it's more pervasive now.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like a normal thing to see a female bass player or a female drummer, right?
Yeah. And something that there's this writer named Jessica Hopper who wrote an essay called Emo Where the Girls Aren't that kind of like really like stabbed me in the chest with an impact early on when I read that because I'd been listening to a lot of emo music in high school like a lot of
Dashboard
Confessional a lot of like all of guy bands singing about how these girls like wrecked their lives and destroyed them and then I was like so obsessed with these songs and these bands and then I was like I later on, like years later, was like reflecting on it and I was like, oh, no wonder I didn't like pursue trying to play music in high school with people or like trying to actually like put myself out there because I felt like I was supposed to be the subject of the songs and not the maker of them. So that was kind of an interesting turn in perspective.
yeah.
I still love those. I'm actually now, years later, after like, oh, that emo stuff really messed me up. But now I'm actually kind of getting back into a lot of the pop punk and emo songs and kind of
are
like...
Are you really?
Yeah, Leah's kind of brought in a whole new pop punk perspective
like
to
what?
My life.
Like what? What
just
do you guys...
what I grew up on.
Yeah? What are you listening to now, though? What do you, like... Because I went through this, too, like a couple years ago. Like, I like rediscovered my old music collection, you know? And I was listening to, like, you know, my Seaweed albums, and, you know, all my old Sonic Youth stuff that I had.
So you're sounding way cooler than we're about
to
sound.
Yeah. We're going to say it anyway.
Like, literally, I grew up on Blink-182.
Yeah.
It was just, like, the perfect timing for how old I was and what I was doing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So that is obviously still, like, super nostalgic to listen to. Alex and I recently discovered that we both share a love of this band that wasn't that well-known called Oscar.
Yeah.
And they were just this amazing, like, not cheesy pop punk band. Like, they didn't always just sing about girls screwing them over.
Yeah, yeah.
They were on Punkorama number 6, which was pretty much, like, the best Punkorama.
Yeah,
that there
exactly.
Punkorama?
It was, like, compilations of pop punk bands that got
was
me through high school.
Was it available on television? Was
no, that like... Hot Topic?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe
it Epitaph,
worked.
Epitaph, either.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, yeah, I still hold a very special place in my heart for all of those bands.
Well, it's like what you grew up on, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's
exactly.
it's a generational thing for sure.
Yeah, right. And like we've just been. Leah has like a lot of punk, pop punk roots in the stuff that's inspired her and kind of how she plays. And I was kind of for a while going through listening to. Still, I go on and off like with like singer songwriters or like just like really driven like catchy stuff. And I also really love commercial pop music.
Yeah.
I've kind of been approaching things from a songwriter perspective recently, where I'm able to like look back at songs and think about like the structure and just be like really impressed by it. So yeah. I recently, like back to being sounding uncool, I started re-listening to Warning by Green Day, which was an album that I was really into.
Wait, which one was that?
It was like when did that after come out? Dookie.
Was it after Nimrod? I think it was one after Nimrod.
Yeah.
Before American Idiot, though.
Before American Idiot. Okay. I don't think I'll ever try and... I don't want to listen to American Idiot. But Warning, I was like... I just started re-listening to it. I was like, damn, these songs are good. Like, the structures of them, like the dynamics of the songs.
They definitely have... Yeah, they what is his name? Billy Joel?
Mm-hmm.
Or Billy Joe?
Billy Joe.
Yeah, he definitely has, like... There's an affinity for like, you know... super pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows what he's doing when it comes to pop music.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I would just like to say that when I was 25, uh-huh. like I wouldn't have told anybody that I was secretly listening to Christina Aguilera
while I drive
to the pool. Yeah. You know, like, but now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. It's a great song.
Yeah.
You know? So I really appreciate that.
That's kind of where I'm at, right? Like, you know, there's this whole idea of like guilty pleasures. You're supposed to say it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm getting like the past couple of years, I've just gotten more and more like in an acceptance phase of the fact that
you like
I love pop songs and I love a good song that gets stuck in my head and I want to know how that hook works and like how they wrote it.
Right. I have said many times in the recent past on this show that I am still a huge fan of that Dishwalla song.
Counting Blue Cars?
Yes. Yeah. Tell me all your thoughts on God.
Because I'm on my way to see him.
Yeah. But doesn't he say her? He says her.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's so deep.
Big steps here in the feminist movement. Let me tell you. No, but I totally appreciate that because, you know, when I was 25, it was still really uncool to be like, yeah, I totally dig that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or, you know, having to say, explain yourself when somebody finds it on your iPod or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. You know? I think that's just like a part of getting older is coming, like, just kind of like coming full circle with the things that have inspired you and just kind of like thinking about how each, you know, each guilty pleasure, mm-hmm. quotation marks, yeah. each thing, you know, it did have an impact on who you are now and what you do.
That's for sure.
I still remember printing out. I didn't play the guitar or like have an instrument first when I was like in my early teens. So I just printed out the lyrics to all of my favorite Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera songs. Natalie.
Oh, you were in deep.
And I would just sing them a cappella in my room all night. And my brother would be like knocking on the wall that separated our bedroom. Boo boo, shut up. Like, you know. So, but you know,
boo-boo,
now
huh?
I'm now.
You can shove that in his face.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
man.
I'm a singer now.
Yeah, I got a record contract. Where did you go with your band, bro?
Wear those leather pants. Come on.
Yeah, bring them out. So, Leah, you're from Bainbridge Island.
I am.
You live here in Seattle now.
Yes.
But I am from Indianola.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. I know a person from Indianola.
Rivals.
Yes, we
right?
are. Pretty yeah. much.
Do you still harbor
North,
hatred for
North
my people?
You know, well, here's the thing.
Let me put you on the spot.
I was never like into sports on Bainbridge. Right. Obviously, I just told you I played in punk bands.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't think I ever really got the whole North Kitsap Bainbridge rivalry thing.
There was a huge rivalry.
Yeah. I mean, I know about it. Yeah. I just don't think I ever really felt that way. But I still hate you. Don't worry.
Good. Thank God. Yeah. We got to keep that fire alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was never really into that either. But I did think that everybody from Bainbridge was like some, you know, rich.
Stuck up,
like terrible person. And then I met my wife, who's also from Bainbridge. And
she was still rich and stuck up, but you loved her
totally.
Anyways.
Such a bitch. Such a bitch. You only met her for a second, Alex, but man, let me tell you, really bad vibes coming from that lady. No, but there was like, I mean, there was stuff at our high school in Paulsbo mm-hmm. that like, I think it was like our cheerleaders went over to Bainbridge and like painted your parking lot at one point.
Well,
and
painting
then,
was just a big thing between the two schools in
right,
general.
Right. Yeah.
Cause like at Bainbridge we had that like rock
Yeah,
that everyone
yeah.
would paint
yep.
in the parking lot.
Yep.
Did we every high school have one of those? Because we had one of those, too.
Maybe. Yep, we had one, too.
I remember yep. at some point, I don't know if it was Bainbridge kids or North Kitsap kids, but during my day, someone went to the opposite team's football field with a bunch of, like, bleach and chemicals
oh.
and bleached the other team's or the other school's, like, initials into the middle of their football Ooh, field.
That is awesome.
That's
right?
crazy.
That's great.
I'm going to say I hope it was Bainbridge kids doing it to North Kitsap, but I don't know for sure, so don't hold me to that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's taking it to the next level. Oh my God. That's insane. But yeah, so as retribution
yes.
For North Kitsap going over and painting your guys' parking lot, the cheerleader girls came over and painted our parking lot, but they got caught.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there was an MTV show at the a couple of years back that was all about senior pranks and people getting caught.
Oh, I totally them. I remember that too.
Yeah,
their pranks were way better.
That was some dangerous territory. The
did you guys ever do a senior prank when you were in high school?
Not that I was never I was in leadership, but like
so you we were not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like ASB vice president my senior year of high school. I don't think I would have gotten away.
So
with
you were
that.
More of you were more of the student that was like, hey guys, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I never participated in that.
Leah, senior prank would have been like right up your alley. It sounds like.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just know on Bainbridge, and maybe you remember this about Bainbridge, everyone paints the street in front of their friends' houses, like the ground.
Really?
For graduation?
No.
Huh.
I didn't have many friends, so okay. I was like, that never happened.
See, this is the thing that I think was unique to Bainbridge, that like you would go buy some house paint, and uh-huh. you would go in front of your friend's house, and you would like write their nickname or like a slogan as large as you can. So, for example, like one of my good friends, her name is Robin, we went in front of her house and painted like literally 20-foot letters with rollers, house paint,
yeah.
Red Robin.
Ooh.
Enough that I was on an airplane once and saw it looking down.
Really?
You could see it very clearly. And so if you drive around Bainbridge, like, you know, beginning of June, everyone's like, why did the streets say like 06 everywhere? Like that was my year. Or why did the streets say 13? Yeah. Or what does holding
it's
it down
still
mean? Yeah, it lasts forever. This is the best part.
Did you guys ever fork anybody's lawn?
I did.
No.
Yeah,
I forked somebody's lawn.
Yeah.
A bunch of plastic forks.
Such
That's
a
way
silly
too much
prank.
Yeah. I did that once. I also rolled a, this wasn't like a prank that I did for school, but this was like something I did just in my hometown. And I don't think I've ever told my parents about this, but there was this one really big hill in Indianola. And at the top, these people had this giant pumpkin this one year, right?
Mm-hmm.
For
How giant?
Halloween. It was enormous. It must have been like 40, 50 pounds maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it was giant. It was big. And so I was like, I'm going to roll this down the hill. and so I got up there. I had just dropped my brother off at a friend's house or something. I drove over to this pumpkin and rolled it down the hill. And it just rolled straight into a parked car.
Ooh.
That was parked on the side of the hill and just left this enormous dent.
Oh.
Like totally just, oh, yeah, yeah. Those were usually how my pranks went.
Yeah.
When I was
backfire.
A kid. Yeah, yeah. Totally, every one of them backfired. Like I lit a bag of poop on fire on
Happy Gilmore,
one of our neighbor's porches,
mm-hmm.
and he came to the door so fast that I had to jump off the porch and underneath it. And hid underneath it. And so he stomped it, and all the poop came through the deck and,
that's hilarious.
Hit me in the head.
That's karma.
That is totally right. Oh, my God. This has turned into the prank show. So what other – have you guys ever done any pranks like that outside of school?
No, not really that I can
– I'm willing to admit to something right now that
I want
to
hear this.
I don't think many people know.
I want to hear this.
Just going to say I'm a felon, technically.
You are.
But I was not caught.
Do?
Are you ready to admit this on the air? You're basically sentencing yourself.
It's over though, right? Like it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's the lamest like felony in the world.
Yeah.
Did you blow up a porta potty?
It had nothing to do with fire. my friend Kristen and I. This was in 2006 during the.
She's getting really specific.
No,
this is dangerous.
It was 2004 during the Bush. Kerry? Was it Kerry in 2004? Bush Kerry. Anyways, the streets were just littered with political signs, mm. and we got really, really sick of them everywhere. / we're just, like, young and dumb.
Uh-huh.
So one night we drove around Bainbridge all night and stole like over 400 signs out of people's yards.
Of the election signs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we hid them in a ditch behind her parents' house.
Yeah.
And then there was an article in the newspaper about it. And it was talking about the law, which is every political sign, if you steal it from someone's yard, is like $1,000 fine.
Are you serious?
So good old like $400,000 that I stole in political signs. Alex is really nervous about my well-being right now. I think there's a statute of limitations on these kinds of
things.
There's
got to be.
Was Bainbridge a conservative town?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
That was the thing. We stole everyone's signs. Oh, it wasn't like we just went around stealing like Bush signs or whatever. Yeah. We were just like stupid political signs. Everyone's so political. And then I went on to be like a political science major in college and worked on campaigns myself, which is just funny, and got really mad at people about yard signs.
I was like the only liberal kid at my high school, it felt like at times, because I'm...
Anacortes is pretty...
Oh, no, Oak Harbor. I was from Oak Harbor. Oh, so right. Lance is from Anacortes. Oak Harbor is a town with two military bases, and my dad is a liberal, flaming liberal. At moments, actually, like almost like too liberal. Well, he's one of the... Okay, I love my dad, but I think I'm becoming way more liberal than my dad is, but in those days it was like... Dad, do you actually know the news source of like what you're talking about? And he'd be like, you know, I don't need tools. Bush is crazy, blah, 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 which is, you know. But I was a big Vendetta Red fan in high school, and they had this shirt that said Bush is the face of terror. And I wore that to high school a couple times, and I just like so many glares down the hallway. And I had, I was really into Anti-Flag.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite band in high school. And I had like... pictures of coat hangers crossed out and like on my backpack, you know, just like total, like just trying to. And I had Anti-Flag lyrics
really
written all over my backpack.
People, weren't
yeah,
you?
I was.
Did you ever get beat up?
I didn't get beat up, but I definitely had like. There's this one kid in my class who loved to brag about like his right to have guns and how many guns he had under his bed, and he always like just kind of like see me and scoff at me and like start talking about his guns or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of a normal thing, though, for, like, Western Washington. I'm sure you probably knew a lot of kids that, like, were kind of the hunting aficionados. And they had their own, like, did that happen on Bainbridge at all?
No.
Man, Paul Rowe was rife with kids that would just wear, you know, Carhartt overalls.
Yeah, we had a Roxy like team and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Just going to say, you're not really helping the cause trying to say that, like, North Kids Up kids were...
Oh, I hated high school. I was not a good student. I was, which was probably due to some ADHD, probably, and drugs, lots of drugs. But yeah, there was just tons of dudes that would just like it was, you know, they were a total sect in the college. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, culture. Or not college culture, high school culture.
Yeah.
They would walk around with, like, their chainsaws.
Interesting.
They would have their chainsaws in their back in the back of their big trucks and talk about chainsaws.
That's really scary.
Yeah, yeah.
At least they were into something.
I remember this one time driving around my high school parking lot blasting Neutral Milk Hotel, that song about, I love you, Jesus Christ.
I love that song.
Blasting that from my speakers and just like getting a lot of like mixed looks because like people didn't really know what to think about it.
You're just blowing minds. You're like the Ken Kesey of your high school.
You can't assume anything about me. I'm complicated.
Yeah, don't paint me in a corner. You can't figure this out. So you guys are going to go on your first tour with the Lonely Forest here in a little bit. This is the first tour that you guys have done as a band, right?
Yes.
But is it the first tour that you have done yourself?
It's my first tour,
tour? Yeah.
Leah? I was on tour once with my said high school punk band that I've...
How long of a tour was that?
What? It was 10 days. We were 16. Uh-huh. And for some reason, our parents let us take my mom's minivan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, your parents went with you.
Oh, no. No. But we were too young to get, like, hotel rooms. So we had to stay at hostels, which most people didn't even know existed in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And pretty sketchy ones.
Oh, yeah, man. The United States hostels are kind of gross.
Yeah. So I've done that. But that was... You know, like
a
eight
long
years
time
ago.
Now,
was it fun though? Did you have a good time?
Oh yeah, we went with some of our really good friends' band, also from Bainbridge, and a band from England.
Oh, cool.
And it was a blast. It was the most fun I've had.
Nice.
Or had at that point. And so I'm looking forward to getting to do it again, this time in more of like a real life situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And our guitar player Lance has had like enough tour experience to pass through like several lifetimes, I think. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He's on the road right now with the Lumineers as a guitar tech, and he's like working his 45th festival or something this year.
Yeah.
So
wow,
it feels pretty good to have somebody who's kind of like a road horse, like on the road with us.
He's seasoned. Yeah.
So
he can take charge in
a
situation.
I feel like we'll be okay. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
That's great.
And I recently got stranded on a lake in a boat, in a rowboat. Shenandoah was there. My dog was there.
Was that picture? Didn't I see a picture? Yeah. Didn't you have a guitar in the boat too or something?
Okay. And Lance just like took charge and rowed us to safety. And it was just like
a very nice
like team building trust, you know?
Yeah.
So I just always think of that.
It was your version of doing trust falls.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
A non-optional trust fall. Like, it wasn't...
How did you get stranded out in the middle of a lake?
It was totally sunny when we went out, and then it just, a monsoon just happened all of a sudden.
Really?
Yeah, and the dog just started getting really scared, I started getting really scared, because...
Was there lightning?
Lightning, thunder.
Oh, man.
And we were in a metal boat.
Wind.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad deal.
Yeah. I was freaking out.
That's a bad deal.
But we were okay. Yeah. We turned out okay.
You're still alive. Yeah. So how long is the tour that you guys are going to be going on here?
It's a month long.
A month long?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So,
We're doing like 26
shows in like 30 days.
Yeah.
So you're going on the full, you're not doing a partial tour.
Oh, no.
This is the full thing with The Lonely Forest.
Yeah.
And is that in support of their new album as well?
Yeah.
It's
their first headlining tour.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think you guys are going to mesh really well with them too. Your style of music is somewhat similar. And
I mean, Leah has gotten to know them over the last, year and a half, but like me and Lance grew up with all those guys. So it's really unique opportunity that you get to go on the road with like literally your best friends. Like those guys, I've known, most of those guys since we were like 15, and Lance grew up with those guys.
Yeah. Tony and John came on the show a long time. We had them on the show a long time ago. And they were just, they were so nice.
Mm-hmm.
They were so wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful dudes. I actually went to... Anacortes and met them at a bar.
Which bar? The Brown Lantern?
It was at the Brown Lantern, and they had some bar tab, and they were like, just go and get your drinks, and
they have
we'll
a great shuffleboard there.
It looked like it.
Yeah.
That was a cool bar.
Yeah, it is a really cool bar. It's a great place to play too, and it's a really supportive little community.
They do shows there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That community is very cool. I lived in an all-ages music venue in that town for like a couple months and
helped
book.
You lived in it?
Yeah. It was this like DIY operation where basically everyone who lived upstairs, you paid rent to keep the venue running, and then you booked shows, we booked shows there. But it had been around for like 7 years or 6 years before I moved in, and some amazing bands have gone through there, like TV on the Radio and Beach House and Magnolia Electric Company, Bonnie Prince Billy, Mount Erie Microphones are from Anacortes. So, Mira played there all the time. A lot of the K scene. So it really fostered an amazing culture in Anacortes and actually made it a pretty desirable place for young people to want to travel to, which was kind of interesting because it's such a small town.
Yeah.
So when I lived there, there was a group of people that came all the way from Arkansas to actually like move there and help the venue run. And now one of the guys, Nick, actually runs a recording studio in Anacortes. He's stayed there since.
Is that where you guys recorded?
And that's where we recorded.
Yeah.
And I lived there in 2008 and he's still there, helping, sustain this awesome arts culture in Anacortes. Carl Blaub does a lot of house shows, and there's a lot of different really cool arts things that are happening there. A little bit of, there needs to be another committed permanent all ages space in that town, but there's always something kind of happening and in the works. Same with Oak Harbor. I booked it like this old cement slab of a building that was the IOOF temple, and you could rent it out for $100 and you would get $50 back if you left it clean. So, and I usually made back the other 50 through ticket sales. And so that's how we put on shows in that town. John and Lance used to be in a band, a screamo band that I booked there. And it was just kind of, it's really, it's cool to come from a small town and know just kind of that feeling of like how important music can be and like saving kids and giving them something to do outside of causing trouble and doing lots of drugs and like getting in, you know.
Normal things that happen to kids in small towns.
I feel like I can really say that the people who are really involved in their community and like the all ages shows and were the people that ended up, you know, really making an impact on their community and doing really exciting things in their lives, because it's important to get inspired at a young age and feel like those things are possible. You don't have to work a job you don't like. You can actually make a job that you like by, contributing to your community.
Totally. Do you ever think you'll move back there?
I don't want to like talk crap about my hometown. I think it's like an amazingly beautiful place to live. Whitby Island is really beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But as far as like, the culture of the town goes, I don't think it's a place that I want to live again, although it is just really beautiful to visit. I think Anacortes is definitely a place I've always wanted to kind of get back into.
Or
Bellingham. I lived there for a couple of years. I think that Oak Harbor just needs more youth culture to it. It needs something.
Well, it's definitely like Oak Harbor is kind of more of a, like almost like a retirement community.
Yeah. Or too. Like a transient place, because just like people coming to do their military job and then they
leave. Like that kind of transient.
I mean like transitional, like, I guess.
Huge homeless population?
I use the wrong word. I mean transitional. Like people just like they move there and then they don't really fully commit to being in the town.
Right.
Like they don't really put their roots in that town, which is why I remember when Walmart got there, like when I was like in the fourth grade, Walmart came and kind of wiped out a bunch of local businesses.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's pretty much just like a hub for a lot of fast food and a lot of chains and a lot of like impermanence. The whole town kind of feels like a lot of impermanence. South Whitby has a really amazing arts culture to it, and people seem to really have settled their roots there.
Yeah.
And the same with Anacortes. So I don't know. That's just something that happens like when there's a big job market like that, that's pretty much like come here for your job, and then when your job is done you go somewhere else. Maybe just what happens.
Well, you've got a lot of time to figure it out too.
Now everybody from Oak Harbor is going to listen to this podcast and not want to like my band, not want to like the band anymore.
They're going to unlike it on
Facebook. It's okay once they don't live there anymore. They don't like you.
It is a great place to retire.
No, that's Bremerton. Didn't you ever listen to MXPX?
Oh crap, like I'm looking at Shenandoah. I'm like digging myself into a huge hole.
Oh my god,
go Wildcats.
We're sorry That's gonna be the title to this episode.
I'm gonna get arrested.
You're gonna get arrested.
Not be able to go on tour.
Right. I'm gonna get confronted by the old guy that owned the station wagon that the pumpkin ran into. And you're just going to have Oak Harbor's cutting you off.
You can never go home.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't think I'm like the first person to say that being a young person in Oak Harbor is really hard. I think every young person I've run into in that town is really hard.
Oh, sure,
so,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, and you're cut off, too. It's an island, you know? Yeah, it's far away from a lot of things.
Yeah.
That young kids are wont to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So how did the record contract come around? Let's talk more about your guys' music and how this all came together here.
Well, we made the record over a year ago. We recorded it up in Anacortes.
Over a year ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, it started out, it was just going to be like a 3-song EP.
Okay.
And then we made 3 songs and we were like, let's just make a record.
Yeah.
So we made the full record and then we were gearing up to put it out ourselves, and we did a Kickstarter campaign. Back in, when was that, February or March?
Yeah.
Earlier this year, we did a Kickstarter campaign.
Okay.
And we raised enough money to have the record mixed and mastered again. And we had Alex and Lance's friend, Sam Winston, mix the record.
Okay.
And he has also done the first couple Lonely Forest records, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, he recorded a couple of the Lonely Forest records that was before the one that they put out on Trans.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think he engineered and recorded two of those records.
Yeah.
I remember the specific ones.
He also works at Hall of Justice, which is Chris Walla's recording studio.
Okay.
So
okay.
he was yeah. un... He didn't tell us this, but he was taking our mixes that he was making for us to the Hall of Justice and like listening back on the monitors there uh-huh. and stuff. And Chris was there, I guess, a few times while he was doing it and like had no idea what Sam was doing. And then one day was just like, what are you listening to? And Sam was like, oh, it's just being Cumulus. And then Chris just liked the record after hearing it that way. And literally the day before we were going to send it out to be pressed on our uh-huh. own, he got in touch and asked if we'd be interested in talking about putting it out on Trans.
How did he get in touch? Did he call you guys or just email?
Email.
Okay, so when you get that email from Chris Walla.
Yeah.
What? I mean, so you see it in your inbox, right?
Yeah.
It probably says Chris from at Trans Records or something yeah. like that. Or,
we knew it was Chris Walla. Yeah, I mean, yeah. like you see that email and you're just like, oh shit, this is about to happen.
Yeah,
can't
yeah,
believe I'm about
yeah.
to click on this email. Like, I mean, you could tell that it was from him. I think uh-huh. his email address yeah. was pretty obvious. And, you know, we'd known, you know, like, we have friends that work with him. You know, yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah. we're like, okay, this degree is possible. Like, yeah. we're like 1 degree away uh-huh. from knowing him. This is possible. This is crazy. Open the email and, yeah, it was awesome.
So, was it, I mean, it... Try to explain to me the excitement, because this is, you know, this was my dream
yeah.
as like, a, you know, a young kid, like playing music in bands and stuff like that. But it was just, you know, now that I'm older, I look back on that and I listen back to some of that stuff. And I was like, yeah, that was never a possibility for you, dude. But, you know, so what's it like opening that yeah. email? You read that he wants to talk to you.
Yeah. That I mean, I actually kind of
are
feel
you
like,
crying? Are you just it like, was like jumping and hitting
I
the ceiling?
I jumped
what
up.
Are you doing?
I jumped up and down. I did some screaming. Mm-hmm. I think to myself, yeah. like, oh my god. But I think it was disbelief, like complete disbelief, until yeah, we actually yeah. went and met him yeah. and had a meeting with him.
And that then it became more real.
Yeah.
It's like...
And yeah, just like hearing somebody talk so nicely about something that you put mm-hmm. all this work into that you never. I mean, it was like we. Put this record we were gonna put this record out because you know I personally like I'm like oh god I've been like playing these songs for so many years I gotta put these out like in a format
right,
like
right.
it's about time you know and we had the band together we like loved the way that we were sounding we were ready to put those tracks down and it was like in my mind I feel like I initially like before you know ever hearing from him you know I just knew this record was something that we had to put out
yeah
and so but it was never with any kind of expectation like that.
Right.
That was,
right.
And
I mean,
so,
that's always kind of got to be in the back of your mind. Like, you know, this is something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can turn it into a real thing, then.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, that's great.
Yeah. I definitely thought that would happen like with the next record or something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was like
yeah.
one of the. We just thought, we're going to put this out. We're going to see how this goes. And
yeah.
like, you know, hopefully everybody, you know, who's been coming to our shows for so long, like hopefully they all love it. And like,
mm-hmm.
and we felt really supported by our community because the Kickstarter was successful. So that was kind of our first,
which
like,
is a pretty
awesome sign of encouragement,
yeah.
like
yeah.
to have
yeah.
people really invested in like also wanting to have this record.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
was really exciting.
What was the goal on the Kickstarter, by the way?
It was 7,500 and we raised a little over that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. yeah.
That's wonderful.
And so when we went and met with him, it was just also, we were just kind of like all of this stuff, like the Lonely Forest record is like super polished and
uh-huh.
they've been around
yeah.
for like so long. And I remember us being like, are you sure? Like, I mean, like, our songs are like, you know, like it's kind of rough around the edges. And like, we recorded this, like, but he loved it. And hearing that feeling, just was amazing. Hearing that this thing that you put all your heart into, that struck him.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
and that's kind of I think what appealed to he appealed to the lyrics and to the emotional content of the record, which I found really awesome, and we just clicked right away, and he was
yeah.
really excited to work with us, and that just it was awesome.
That's rad. That's
yeah.
rad. Well, I for one am very excited for you guys. And I cannot wait to hear the rest of that album.
Yeah.
And I want to come and see one of your guys' shows. Are you guys playing anytime soon here in Seattle?
Yes. We have a record release show coming up
October
3rd.
October 3rd?
At Numo's.
I got to wait that long?
Yeah.
That's not that long. It's like a month.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It seems like a long time, but it's not.
We're trying to be business savvy.
Yeah, there
space
you go,
out,
right?
Space out.
Are we allowed to announce the lineup? Yeah. So we're also going to be playing with Kithkin, which
oh,
is...
Oh, I love Kithkin.
Yeah, another
yes.
one of our very favorite Seattle
yeah,
bands.
Yeah,
and
they're
like,
great.
Sweetest guys in the entire world.
Yep, yep.
And then Sundries, my other band,
awesome.
Is going to be opening the show.
Wonderful,
so
wonderful.
Gonna be
and so is that
really
kicking
awesome
off
night.
The tour as well?
It's a few days before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going down to Portland to play just like a one-off show by ourselves the night before.
Okay.
And then the tour officially starts October 9th in Wenatchee.
In Wenatchee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
We're playing Portland October 4th, so the day after.
Yeah.
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 The record
yeah.
release show.
Yeah. And so we can find out more about Cumulus at cumulusband.com. You got your shows up there, your bio. All the contact information, and hopefully soon that music will be up there as well.
It will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm super excited about it. Is there anything else we need to plug before we go here?
Like about us or
yeah,
general
yeah,
life
or product placement or
yeah, yeah.
Well, if you want your girl to play drums, you should send her to Rain City Rock Camp for Girls.
There you go. That's a plug. Definitely.
I'm like, I will always plug. I actually teach songwriting there during the summers.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't get to volunteer this year, but I did like little one-off volunteer things with them. But they're an amazing nonprofit that
That's
teaches
great.
Girls how
That's
to
great.
How to rock out and yeah. like form bands and self-confidence and. I feel like organizations like that are really crucial to, you know, making the future of
yeah,
Seattle
yeah.
and the world really awesome.
That was a good spiel right there. You getting paid for that?
No. Okay. I just love them. I mean, I was going to bring it up earlier and I forgot to. But in general, yeah, I mean, if you go and see our dates on cumulusband.com and we're coming to your city, you should come see us play because we're going to a lot of cities.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
a whole month.
Yeah, maybe you're like, I'm in Boston, and why does this podcast apply to me? And you can be like, hey, actually, we're playing in Boston,
yeah,
so you should
yeah.
come and check that out.
And like them on Facebook, and when the record comes out, rate it on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
It'll be available
only
everywhere.
If it's a really great
or
rating.
Buy it.
Yes, don't,
buy it.
Don't, yeah, no more, and same goes for this show, no more 2-star ratings, please, because that's crap. That is crap, guys. Okay, well, thank you, ladies, so much for taking the time out of your day and chatting with me here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, coming all the way north.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes that's not a great thing.
And stay in school and watch your shenanigans.
Yeah. No rolling pumpkins down the hill. No taking political signs out of people's yards. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. Thanks again. Well, there you go, folks. I hope you enjoyed that little chat that Alex and Leah and I had here in the dining room 2.0. Oh man, what a great couple of gals. Does anybody even say that anymore? I guess I do. That's about it, right? Oh man. Well, hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. And if you would, kick us a couple bucks. We could use the money. Like I said before, we are building the studio, and we could use some help. We could use your help. We could use your support. So if you will, go to www.air-raid.net, and up in the upper left-hand corner, you can click on the donate button. It uses PayPal, and you can donate anything that you think we deserve, right? Could be $5, could be $50, could be $100, could be $100 billion. We could really use $100 billion, people. Could do a lot of good here at Air Raid, not to mention a lot of other places. So maybe you should look at those first. If you're gonna donate $100 billion or $1 billion to a podcast, you know, maybe don't do that. I don't know. I could use like 8 more TVs. That could work out. I could see this working. Yeah. Just lay it on me, bro. Okay. Hey, we got some great stuff coming up in the future. Let's see. Next week on the Air Raid podcast, Cody Chestnut. Yeah, that's right. Cody Chestnut, man.
Going to be talking with him. He's going to be coming to Seattle. Hopefully this works out. Boy, I just said that it was going to happen. Now it's probably not going to happen, right? That's how these things work. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Hey, thanks for listening again, everybody. I need to quit drinking while I'm doing this show. That might be a plus. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Visit our website. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter @AirRaidNet. So do that. Have a good week, everybody.